Steve Smelter, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Now, you're in the business of making people laugh one cartoon at a time. How serious of a passion is this to you?
Throughout the years, I think it's grown more and more serious. As with anything, I think you get more and more interested in things. And not only doing the cartoons, but actually wondering why they are funny. And, you know, you just start getting into the mechanics of it. And that's what's interesting to me.
How long have you been cartooning?
Professionally, probably around 20 years.
Okay, so what's your prior art experience or love? How did you get into the cartooning end of things?
Well, my dad was a cartoonist. Actually, my dad was what they called a commercial artist. And back then, it was just so laborious. You'd have to draw the cartoon strip, you know, real big, and then get them photostated down to small size and then send them off to the syndicates. Mm-hmm. And something like that would just break my spirit. You know, it would take so long to hear back. You know, I like getting my rejections right away. But he had some really promising letters that looked like, you know, something was going to really happen. But then he died really young at 48, so it never happened.
So in a way, you are carrying on a tradition.
Kind of. Sometimes I think about that.
Let's talk about your own perspective. Do you think and see and feel the world in cartoons?
I do. I really do. That's odd that you say that. But that's exactly how I see things. I mean, so many times. My whole life is kind of cartoons. And I don't know what it is. I just relate to life in a fun way. I mean, I've had really serious moments, believe me.
I believe you.
But I think sometimes it's just kind of a bent on life, the way you look at it. And I think that was sort of trained into me, too, by my dad. He would come home and fix me lunch in grade school. And we'd sit there and watch. The program was called Love of Life, which was a soap opera. We'd just sit there and watch it, and we'd insert alternative dialogue, you know, and crack each other up. And I think that was really my training, seriously, just thinking in funny ways like that.
It's quite a training to have and quite a secret to share with us. Thank you for that. Is it difficult to be funny on command in your case with your sense of humor? Does everything lend itself to assignment for you?
Yeah, kind of. Like I've been fortunate to do some for Wall Street Journal, which, you know, is real businessy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my life is as far away from business as you can get. So I have to kind of try to start thinking what would be funny to business people. So that can be kind of tough. But then I have another one I do for a mother's magazine called Brainchild, and I'm just doing one for them today. And that's kind of easy because it's kids stuff. You know, they want kids relating to parents and that kind of thing. So it just depends on who I'm slanting it towards, what audience. But sometimes it's really simple and sometimes it's kind of tough.
What can a cartoon tell about a thought or a situation that other journalistic forms can't?
Well, I think it can go extreme. It can take it beyond, you know, what the facts are. A lot of times I like to take idioms and use that as a basis for a cartoon, like the executive looking out the window of his high rise and his secretary was right there and he said something like, yes, Cynthia, it is lonely at the top, but I have a medication for that. So it's those kinds of things where you kind of add on to whatever is the truth or the idiom or the statement or the common feeling about something. And that's how I like to relate to things.
Are you ever totally at a loss for funny?
Right now?
Well, I'm not asking you to draw a cartoon, so you're lucky there. Yeah. But is there such a thing as cartoonist block?
Oh, yeah, there really is. There really is. But there's always ways around it. I mean, there's a way around. You do it for a long time. You have some go-to things that you know usually always work.
And as a matter of fact, you also play and teach drums here in Fort Wayne. How does the cartooning complement your music work or vice versa for that matter?
I'm not sure. You know, there's two distinct things in my brain, I think. Maybe I'm better at drumming than I am at cartooning because I've been doing it since, you know, I was so young. I know more about that. I don't really understand so much about cartooning, as odd as that sounds. I just kind of do it. And I mean, but you know, with the cartoons, I can also, you know, I go to source material. You know, I look at other cartoonists and mm-hmm. I go, oh, okay, you know, like I would like to do something on that same subject.
That's really a good point. Is cartooning an endangered species?
I think it is, yes. I think, you know, with more and more, you know, magazines are folding and newspapers getting smaller and all those things, it's just there's less and less room for them. And I think a lot of publishers tend to think that they're pretty expendable, you know, although I've heard that poll after poll shows that that's one of the favorite parts of, you know, reading a newspaper for
mm-hmm.
people
is
reading the cartoons.
With its ups and downs and ins and outs and changing times and everything else, what tip would you share with a budding cartoonist?
Just do what you love. Do what comes natural that way. Because there's nothing better than doing a cartoon that makes you laugh as you're doing it. And I've done so many of the others, you know, and it pays the bills and stuff. But at the end of everything, you'll be happy you did those.
Steve Smeltzer is a freelance cartoonist here in Fort Wayne. He joined us today in the Madge Rothschild Studios. Steve, thanks for sharing your time and your funny with us.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure.